You're going to be uncomfortable today. I don't want to teach today's message. I dread today's message. And I can promise you, and I don't say this in a braggadocious way, I don't care. Matter of fact, let's do a, how many of you have been in church over 10 years? On a regular, put your hand down. Because y'all some lying SOBs up in here. I'm talking about in church on a regular basis, 2 to 3 times a month for over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. That's more. I do not believe you have been going to church every week. Whatever. Listen. Some of the fakest people on earth are pastors. They want to get up here and tell you how to live and live their life like they have done nothing wrong and that they're anything but perfect. Today, some of you will decide after how honest I am with you that this is no longer the church for you, and I am okay with that. Because we're probably not the church for you if you can't handle keeping it real. We're in a series called Messy. And we've been talking about different aspects of our lives that are messy and how we get through those things. And let's just be honest. Growing up, men and women, more so women, but men too, we had thoughts about what our married life would be. We'll meet that perfect person. They'll sweep us off our feet. We'll have this picturesque wedding ceremony. Have kids. They'll be perfect kids. We'll live in our dream home. Have the perfect dog. Blah, 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 blah. And it sounds amazing on paper. I mean, let's be honest, it actually doesn't just sound good on paper, it sounds good in our head. But it very rarely goes like we picture it going. And really, if you step back and you get out of the fantasy mode and you look at marriage logically, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Two different people with two different backgrounds sign a contract to live together till death do us part. No one really explains the contract. Matter of fact, I would go as far to say it's probably the only lifelong contract that you sign that really isn't explained at all. I mean, you go to a house closing and you sign 75 pages and it takes 2 hours of them explaining everything. But to get married, I got to go to the courthouse, show them my driver's license, and they give me a piece of paper and I got to find someone to sign it. I used to have to find a preacher to sign it. Now I don't even got to find a preacher to sign it. I can pay $25 and get an ordination online sent to me and anybody can sign it. And just like that, I'm in a contract that I can't get out of. These two people have to come together and figure out how to agree on life goals. Though they were raised different, they have different outlooks on life. They have to come to a consensus together on how they're going to raise their kids, how the money's going to be spent. And when it doesn't work, to get out of that contract, you literally have to go to war with the person you said you were going to spend forever with. Amen. And you have to go to war and stand before a judge who determines how your possessions get split up and how often you each get to see your children. Marriage is messy. Matter of fact, I would be confident in saying there might not be anything on earth more messy than marriage. Over 50% of all marriages end in divorce. We see that stat all the time. The stat we don't hear is over 87% of people say they wish they could get divorced. 87%. If we lined up 100 people, 87 of those people would say if there was no repercussions, there was no judgment, it wouldn't affect their life, their children, it wouldn't hurt anybody, they would get out of the marriage that they are in. It's complicated. And on paper, marriage might be the stupidest thing you could ever do. Didn't expect to hear that, did you? Marriage is messy. From a logical sense, marriage doesn't make sense. But I need to remind you today, we don't operate in the logical, we operate in the spiritual. Kristen and I are approaching 10 years of marriage. It's not our first marriages. Which actually means her and I have a 75% chance of not making it. Because the stats go up. Our marriage 10 years ago was two unhealthy people coming together, thinking that that would make us healthy, raising kids together, starting businesses together. And we have been through some stuff in 10 years. We've lied to each other. We've both put ourselves in positions with the opposite sex that we shouldn't have put ourselves in. We've broken trust with each other. We both have considered walking out of our marriage. And as recently as last fall, I stood on this stage right here and I shared with you, I didn't know what the future of my marriage would be. You know why? Because marriage is messy. The white picket fence life doesn't exist. The perfect marriage does not exist. The difference is today we have this amazing thing called social media and all this access to communicate so everyone knows about our mess, but marriage has been messy forever. Logically, it just doesn't work. It literally, logically makes no sense. But God designed it. God blessed it. God created it. And we don't operate in the natural, we operate in the supernatural. The Bible says in Genesis 2:18, the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him. We were not made to do life alone. Up until this point, this is the creation story. The Bible says God created the heavens and the earth, and it was good. The Bible says he created the animals of the fields, and it was good. He separated the day and the night. He separated the land and the water. He looked over everything and said it was good, and he created man. I said, man, I probably can do better than that. The Bible doesn't say it was good. It says that he looked at man and knew there was a void in his life. That something was missing in his life. That while man could have dominion over everything, his life was empty without someone to do that life with. So the Bible says the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made woman through the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And this reason a man leaves his father and is united to his wife, and they become one. There's power in marriage. Anything worth having is worth working for. If it was easy, everybody would do it. We live in a society today, the moment things get hard, not just in marriage and everything, we want to quit. Matter of fact, let's be honest. A lot of you, and I don't normally say you, I normally say we, but a lot of you, because I don't include we in this, because we don't do a lot, right? But this is one thing we do do with our children, is we want to enable them to lose. You justify their losing. You let them quit when things get hard. So marriage gets hard and they quit. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, 22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and receives favor from the Lord. We live in a day and time where marriage is looked at as a curse, as something we should dread. And I've been married before, so I get that. The Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Before I go any further today, I want to make something very clear to you. I am not a pastor who is going to get up here and tell you that no matter what, you should not get divorced. I am not going to tell you that you should stick out your marriage no matter what, not doing it. Life is too short. You only live once. You should make the most out of this life. But I am telling you that you need to be able to look yourself in the mirror before you walk out on that commitment and tell yourself you've done everything you can do, and be honest with yourself before you make that decision. Marriage is hard. It's messy. Even at its best, it's messy. Man, but it's amazing. To be able to do life with someone is amazing. To chase dreams with someone is amazing. To know no matter how crazy life gets, that person will be with you is amazing. To laugh together, to cry together, to grow together, even to fight together, is one of the most rewarding things you will ever deal with in your life. Marriage is messy, but it's magnificent. I think the problem for so many of us is we have an unrealistic view of what marriage is. Hollywood has told us that love is butterflies. It's that feeling in your stomach. Maybe, or maybe you just had bad Mexican food. Romantic novels have told us that love is simply passion. And boy, you remember the early days how passionate it was? I would almost say, if I'm not careful, I come from a family of addicts, and I've avoided certain addictions in my life because of them. But I would almost say if I allow myself to, I can be addicted to passion. That's why I start businesses, the thrill of it. But as I get older, I have learned that passion just takes different shapes and forms. That it can go deeper than just that feeling. Because I don't care who you're with, there will come a time that the passion you had in the beginning is just not realistic. It sounds great to think you'll chase each other around the house 24/7. It's just not realistic. It sounds great to think, man, he'll always put the toilet seat down just in the early days. Social media has told us love is new and exciting. And oh, it is exciting. But all those are emotionally based things. The Bible says love is so much deeper than that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, love is patient. You don't really see that in the romance novels. You don't really see that from Hollywood. Love is kind. It is not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It's almost a list of everything we don't do in our marriage. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always, not sometimes, not most of the time, not 99% of the time, it always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Verse 8, love never fails. That's deep. I want to break it down, but I don't even know that I can. It's so deep. But that's not the type of love we see nowadays. That's not the type of love that Hollywood shows. That's not the type of love that novels show. That's not the type. It's not even the type of love that country music sings about. Hell, nowadays, love is she's in her Daisy Dukes on her diamond plate tailgate, drinking her Miller Lite or Bud Light out of her Yeti cooler, and it was love. The problem is we've mistaken lust for love. Now, love can start as lust, but lust will never maintain. If you want your marriage to stand the test of time, notice I did not say if you want your marriage to not be messy, but if you want to stand the test of time, you've got to go to a deeper level of love. And so many of us rob ourselves of that commitment by looking for a way out, looking for that shiny new penny. We have a spouse that we love, and they meet 80% of our needs, but what do? Man, we focus on the 20% that we don't feel like they meet. And what do? We go find someone who will meet the 20% until we realize, man, they forgot about 80%. Marriage is messy. We've minimized what love is to some cheap thrill instead of a deep, meaningful relationship. I'm going to hang out today in the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon's about a husband and a wife. They seem passionately in love. But it's funny, as you read, you'll see different parts of their life. There were obstacles were thrown at them, curveballs were thrown at them, roadblocks were thrown in their way, but they had some characteristics that got them through those times. And here's what I want you to know before I go any further. I do not have a magic cure for your marriage. You can implement every principle I give you today. And guess what? Your marriage will still be messy. Because I've told you every week, you can't go around messy. You don't get to go under messy. You don't get to go over messy. What we have to do is just learn that we've got to go through messy, but we've got the skills through a God who loves us to get through the messy. God never promised us that life would not be messy. Matter of fact, he said, in this world, you will have trouble. Matter of fact, he promises that life will be messy. We need to come to some realizations. First of all, we need to understand that a healthy marriage is work. It's work. If you thought marriage was not going to be work, and I've heard people say, it just shouldn't be this much work. then how much work should it be? Again, two different people coming together as one logically doesn't make sense. The only way it's going to work is if you work it. You've got to be willing to put in the steps to make your marriage work. Just like you put in steps with your mental health, you put in steps with your physical health, just like you put in the work at your job. But we're just married. Right. And that's why you are now roommates. That's why now one of you wants out of the marriage. That's why if you had the opportunity with no fallout, 87% of you would leave your marriage today. Now, I know what you're thinking. Some of you are not married today. Hey, here's the deal. You never know what God has in plan for you, so you ought to take notes today. Because if you're not married today, probably chances are, especially if you're older in the church, you've been married before. So guess what? If you get married again, the odds are really against you. Marriage is work. The Bible says, I put Ephesians here, but it's actually Ecclesiastes. It says, two are better than one because they have a return for their favor. Two are better than one. If you're taking notes, that's Ecclesiastes, not Ephesians. I messed up. Two are better than one. Two energy drinks is better than one energy drink. $2 is better than $1. Two candy bars is way better than one candy bar. Two is better than one. Because they have a good return for their labor. Marriage is work. But when you're united with somebody, we're better together. So here's what I need you to do before I go any further today. I just need you to accept the reality that marriage is work. If you're not willing to accept that reality, then tune me out, go ahead and leave, because you're going to get nothing out of today's message. Quit buying into the lie. It just seems so natural to them. What, the 20 minutes a week you see them? What, the posts they make on Facebook? The pictures they post on InstaScam? You wouldn't even notice them. They're so filtered. You really want to get an accurate view of their marriage? Go to their Snapchat and see what they're sending to people. Adults with Snap. I do it to keep up with my kids. Shut up. Get the... You can't be honest with yourself, so how are you going to be honest about your marriage? Marriage is work. Song of Solomon is powerful. There's some principles they implemented. Let me go ahead and let you know ahead of time, these principles seem real easy, and they're not. That's why marriage is hard. You're going to shrug them off and be like, that seems so basic, they're hard. But anything worth having is worth working for. You'll work to make money. You'll work to get the things you want possession-wise. But you won't work for your relationship. But you don't know about the Bible says every man must give an account for himself. I'm not responsible for what Christine does, even though she's my wife. She's not responsible for what I do. In 10 years of marriage, there's been times she put in the work on herself when I didn't want to put in the work that kept us married. And in the same way, in that 10 years of marriage, there's times she didn't want to work on the marriage and I put in the work on myself. I told you, that doesn't mean we don't ever go together, but we gave up marriage counseling a long time ago. We've learned that our counseling is a whole lot more effective when Christine's working on Christine and Gary's working on Gary. And that might be the first time in 25 years of preaching I've referred to myself in the third person. It's kind of creepy. But when I focus on me, my marriage goes better. When I focus on me, my passion goes better. When I focus on me, my purpose goes better. When I focus on me, my finances are better. When I focus on me, my parenting's better. When I focus on me, my relationship's better. I have no control over Christine getting healthy, and she has no control over me getting healthy. But if we both are putting the work in on ourselves, two become better than one. The problem is some of you can't get past working on yourself because you want to point out your partner's flaws. Yeah, but you get mad at your kids for making excuses. You get mad at your kids for blaming everybody else, but you want to blame everybody else. Song of Solomon, some very practical tips today that will rock your world because they're practical, but they're hard. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to understand the importance of communication. Sounds easy, don't it? Talking. Who here knows how to talk? I hear all of you. You know how to talk. It's amazing how hard that is. Communicating with your spouse. Creating an environment that is safe enough where either one of you can say whatever needs to be said. Expressing your fears. Expressing your doubts. Expressing the things you're happy about. Expressing the things you're not happy about. And communication is not only expressing yourself, it's also listening. And listen to me, oh my God, I am the king of not being able to do it. It's listening to understand instead of listening to respond. Are some of you really have no testicles and you just shut down? You won't communicate. You go silent because that's healthy. I'm just going to out-quiet them, see who budges first. We called that the Gary in my house for a while. I get mad, I wouldn't talk. I mean, I'd go for days. You know what was always frustrating about that after a couple days when Christine had enough and finally came to talk to me? We'd resolve in about 10 minutes. So instead, we stayed mad at each other for 4 days over what, if we learned to communicate, could have been handled in 10 minutes. Most of us are scared to communicate because we don't want to hear the truth sometimes. Song of Solomon, this is the wife talking. She's talking to her husband. I'm going to explain this verse because it seems a little bit odd. She's saying, dark am I, yet lovely. Daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tents of Kedar, like the tent curtains of Solomon. Do not stare at me because I am dark, because I am darkened by the sun. My mother's sons were angry with me and made me take care of the vineyards. My own vineyard I had to neglect. It's awesome. It's an awesome verse. Power-packed verse, and you might overlook it because you might not understand the context of it. She's talking to her husband. She's communicating to her husband. Do not miss this. She's communicating to her husband about her insecurities. They had such a bond, such a safe place with each other that they could communicate about anything. And I also want you to notice there is no response from the husband. He didn't try to fix the situation because there was nothing he could fix. He just listened. This is a great marriage. It's a great relationship. You want your relationship to be what it should be, you get to the point where you learn to communicate with each other. So you need to understand the context here. She's talking about her skin and how dark it is. In this day and time, a dark woman, a suntanned woman, was not an attractive woman. You know why? Because it meant she was poor. It meant she had to work in the field. So the sun would have darkened her skin. The sign of beauty in that day and prestige and class was a woman who got to stay in all day and had very pale white skin. But she's saying, I had to work the fields. And I'm dark and people mock me and they make fun of me because of that. She said even her own brothers made fun of her. She was insecure about it. He didn't roll his eyes. He didn't smirk. He listened. He created a safe space where she felt comfortable enough to come talk to him about her insecurities. Can your spouse do that? Or do you tell them they're crazy? Oh, you're crazy. Oh my God, you're overreacting. I don't want to talk about this right now. You just shut down. Hey, I'm dealing with some things. I need you to listen to me for a moment. And yet they don't feel safe to do that. What's funny, though, is that's not the early days of our relationship. Remember the early days of your relationship? And you talked about everything. Remember the early days of your relationship? Who here is old enough? Now, kids, I know you're not going to understand what this is. I'm going to explain it to you. How many of you are old enough to remember what a landline was? Kids, there used to be phones that were on wires and they plugged into the wall. And you could only go as far as the cable went. I know that's mind-boggling to y'all. You didn't have phones everywhere you went. Be honest with you. You first started talking. How many of you fell asleep with that phone next to your ear? Just talking. Dreaming. Talking. Hearing each other. You never told the other person that was stupid. And if they told you that early on, well, you had every red flag in the world. Here's your sign. Remember when you met and you wanted to know everything there was to know about the person you're now married to? And now you can't stand the tone of their voice. Something's wrong. Now we'd rather keep things quiet than fight. I'll just keep it inside. The problem is you can't keep it inside because eventually you're going to pack it out and it's going to overflow. One of the biggest keys in a marriage is learning to communicate. And communicating is two people talking and listening. Talking and listening. I don't care how crazy you think his ideas are or his thought processes or how crazy and insecure you think or how she's overreacting. You listen. That doesn't mean you always agree. My wife and I have an expression we use in our home, and we heard this in counseling early on, and it said that we have to stop, breathe, and sometimes you just got to put yourself in the other person's shoes. There's times Christine comes to me about certain things, and I think it's just ridiculous. I don't understand it from my point of view. And so what happens is I get real defensive. I get real bothered. I get real irritated. I don't have time for this. And it never goes good. The time she comes to me and I still don't understand, even the time she comes to me and I don't agree, but I stop, I breathe, and I put myself in her shoes. And I look at things from her vantage point. I might still not agree, but at least I can understand. See, two people can see one situation. Anybody ever seen the movie Vantage Point? Great movie. You ever seen the movie Vantage Point? It's a murder happens, and the whole movie is the same scene happening over, but it happens from a police officer's point of view, a guy's in a phone booth point of view, all these different points of view. And as you see all the different vantage points, you come to the conclusion of what happened. It's pretty creative. Two people can see the same thing and see it different. See, that's the problem also with marriage. We think it's always got to be in agreeing. I don't got to agree. I've got to learn to listen and love you even when we disagree. There used to be a time in our country you could disagree with someone and still be friends. We're two different people. My wife and I are never going, I don't want her, and this is her line sometimes, you just want me to be a Stepford wife? No. And she's right when she says that. I don't want her to fall in line. I want her to be opinionated. I want her to express herself. I want her to come to me when she thinks things in my life are out of control or not online. But that only happens if you learn to communicate. You got to remember that. I don't have time to anchor down on all these points. I got a lot of points. I'm going to hit these next ones and we're going to fly. I'm really lying. We're going to go long today. I hope your crock pot's on low. But it makes me feel better to say that ahead of time. The second thing, we're going to understand the importance of dating your spouse. If you and your spouse are married and you're not still dating, and oh, by the way, a date means you and your spouse, not you, your spouse, and your kids. That's called family dinner. Not you, your spouse, and friends. That's called hanging out with friends. All those are great. I love family dinners. I don't particularly love hanging out with friends, but I do it because you're supposed to. But dates you and your spouse, going off together, uninterrupted. Christine and I are almost religious about this. It is, I would say, 50 weeks out of 52 weeks we go on a date every week. Must be nice. It is. But here's the problem. You classify a date as something expensive. That date might be me and her going to Bowling Park and going for a walk. It might be us going and grabbing ice cream together. It might be a nice dinner. It might be going across the street to Wingstop and having 45 minutes together. For us, because of my schedule, it might be getting up and grabbing breakfast together. What you do is not important, but are you making time for one-on-one time? I would say at least once a week. Becomes a priority. It's game-changing. Look what she says in Song of Solomon. Let him lead me to the banquet hall, and let his banner over me be love. Strengthen me with raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. Guess what this joker just did? He took her to the banquet hall. Guess what the banquet hall was? That was a restaurant in that day and time. What she's saying is, now you got to remember, it was a different day and time. He's refreshing her with raisins. That's not some sexual innuendo. It was raisins. It was apples. He was giving her, which, by the way, were a delicacy in that time. It was something special in that time. Look what it says. His left arm is under my head. Come here, woman. We'll show you how this works in case y'all forgot. It's called date night. His left arm is under my head. Boom. Now you got to turn face to me. And his right arm embraces me. Right there. Guess what he's doing? He on date night. He on date night. Remember date night? Did you know we're so intentional about, and I'm not saying you got to do this, but we're so intentional about date night. I still leave my office. I'd go to my house and pick her up, because 9 times out of 10, if we're going on date night, it's downtown kitchen, which is literally right across the street from my office. We come back into downtown together and go eat. I don't shoot her. I say, meet me at DK. I say, be ready. I'm coming to pick you up. I want to see her walk out of the house. I want to open the door for her. I want to smack that ass while she's getting in the truck. That's my wife. I can say that. A date involves two people who want each other's undivided attention. Let's just be honest, life's crazy. If you got kids, life's really crazy. You thought it slowed down when you had grandkids. It don't slow down when you have grandkids. There's baseball and basketball and softball and practices, and they got to go here. I just don't remember being that social when I was a kid. My dad's here today. Maybe I was. I don't remember. I literally feel like we are in tax. I literally feel like Christine is in taxi mode nonstop. I used to be that parent. I used to be that parent. Then when my kids turned 16, I ain't getting them a car. My kids turned 16, I couldn't wait to get them a car to free up time for me. Your kids having a car is the greatest thing in the world. Yesterday, I got fights here. We got fight night here. Christine's coming to fight night. Luke's got a birthday party. Guess what Emily had to go do? We didn't ask Emily if she wanted to. We didn't ask her if she could. Go pick up your brother. You are still our slave for 2 more years. You think that could... Now, here's the bad thing about Emily. She's got her own truck she makes her own payment for. But she's under 18. They wouldn't give her a loan. So guess who has the loan? She pays for it, but it's in my name. I'll take that joker from her so quick. Get it. Date night. Now, look what it also says here. My husband, oh, man, this dude, he makes us look bad. Man, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. This dude makes us look bad. This is her speaking again. My beloved spoke to me and told me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig trees form an early fruit, the blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. Let me break this down for you. They couldn't travel like we could back in those days. So when winter came, you were pretty much housebound. He wakes up and realizes spring has sprung. And he's taking her on a trip. arise. I got the chariot waiting. The horse is down there. The shagging wagon's hooked up. Come on. Get up. We're going to look at the flowers. Get up. We're leaving the kids behind. Get up. We're going off for the day. My wife the other day, she said, I love what Kylie and Betty do. I said, what do Kylie and Betty do? I don't need to be compared to nobody, especially Kylie. She said, they're at the Dillard House. I said, you wouldn't eat the Dillard House? It's fried chicken. She goes, it's not the point. The point is they just get up and drive. Kylie out there making me look bad. Punk. Man, not only did they date, they went away together on trips. She said, Gary, I thought we were talking about a healthy marriage. We are. That's what you don't understand. It's work. You've got to learn to communicate. We just can't afford it. You're missing the point. It's not what you do. It's that you do it. If all you can afford is to get in the car, drive to LJ and walk around downtown, do it. If it means you can go down to the Redneck Riviera PCB for 2 days, go do it. If it means you can get on a cruise ship for a week, go do it. It's not what, it's making sure you put in the work to go away together. It will save your marriage. Life is crazy. Life is hectic. Kids will drive you nuts. Job will drive you nuts. Finances are stressful. You've got to take time to unplug. Something I've been very intentional about recently in the last probably years. Every time we go on a date, I don't even take my phone. Christine has her phone. If the kids need to get in touch with her, they can get in touch with her. My phone goes off nonstop. It's only a couple of hours. It only takes me about 25 to 30 minutes of DTs, and the rest hour and a half, I'm good. I want her to have my undivided attention. We go away. We have a getaway plan for May. I'm not going to be here one Sunday. I'm not going to tell you which Sunday it is because most of you won't be here, especially Yvonne. She'll get on Facebook and announce it to everybody. So you're just going to have to guess. But I'll be here. Who's going to preach? I ain't even going to tell you who's going to preach because some of you like this preacher, some of you like that preacher. You're just going to show up and be surprised. So I'm not even going to post about my trip before we do it. But we're going to go away together. You know why? Because as much as I love you and as much as I love this church, I love her more. We got to get away every now and then. He surprised her with a trip. This next one's going to seem really weird, but it's so vital. They understood the importance of looking good for each other. You think being married's a license to quit taking care of yourself? This is Solomon talking. Pimp. Boy, he was a pimp. He's talking to his woman. He said, I liken you, my darling, to a mare. That's a horse. Among Pharaoh's chariot horses. What he's saying is, I liken you to the slickest horse out there, baby. You're like a Clydesdale. Just telling you what he said. I didn't say it, okay? He said, you so fine. You got them curves. I guess this is what he said. I don't know. You got those curves and them legs. I don't know what he's saying. That tail, I don't know. I don't know nothing about horses. No. He said, your cheeks are beautiful with earrings. Your neck with strings of jewels. Man, he pointed out the little things. He said, man, we will make you earrings of gold studded with silver. Now check it out. He's bragging on. I guess she's got, I don't know, man. I guess she was punk rocker. I don't know. She's got earrings going down her cheeks, apparently. He likes it so much. He said, I'm going to get you some fancy earrings putting them cheeks, girl. You so fine. And then she says, while the king was at his table, my perfume spread its fragrance. She said, I was working that magic. That's a big deal. You want your woman to smell good. Hey, nothing worse than a nasty smelling woman got some BO or something because she ain't washed. That's romantic stuff. She's working it. She didn't say, I'm married. I ain't going to take care of myself no more. She said, I got the fancy earrings in. I know there's got to be a way I'm misreading that, but like that's just the way I picture them right down her face. She got her neck all covered up. She's working that fragrance. Ain't it funny how in the early days of our marriage, we'll put in all the work to get our spouse, and once we got them, we quit putting the work in? It's almost like a bait and switch. The problem is, and this is the problem, we get so comfortable in our marriage that we no longer think we have to take care of ourselves for each other. Now, don't miss this out. I'm not saying you got to be done up all the time. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you ought to not be able to be comfortable and be relaxed. But I'm saying there's something wrong when you go out for girls' night or the guys get out to go out with the boys. And we get all dudded up to go impress people we ain't married to, but it's date night. And you got your old sweatpants on and your t-shirt that's 7 years old. I never understood that. I sit on Facebook, girls' night, man. They're married women, pat-out, pat-out, pat-out. I'm thinking, I was on date night the other day with a flannel shirt on and like some jogging pants. And don't get me wrong, I like a flannel shirt and some jogging pants. There's a time and place for that. But what kind of message does that send? We talk about y'all's marriages all the time around here, I'm just going to be honest. So we talked about Kylie and Betty. You know what my wife says all the time? I love watching Randy and Brooke. I said, what do you mean? He goes, man, he makes sure she's got the stuff. Brooke comes to fight night. Look, Randy, I ain't even going to be disrespectful. Bada bing, bada boom. Am I right? Where's Randy at? Is he here? Stand up and say amen like you in a black church. Give us an amen, Randy. I mean, it's like the club. Like, Brooke set the standard so high that now like an Amazon package arrived a couple weeks. I said, what's that? She goes, that's my outfit for fight night. I said, oh, we in competition now. I like that. But guess what? Brooke ain't trying to impress me. She wants to look good for him. Christine ain't trying to impress him. They just associates. She's trying to impress me. Hey, ladies, did you know that once you get married, you can still buy lingerie? That's amazing, ain't it? I know we're going to take it off in 4 seconds. That ain't the point. You missed the point. Oh, man, by the way, did you know that once you get married, you can wear underwear that don't have holes in it? Did you know that I know you work hard? But don't come home, sit around in your underwear and your wife beater and your dress socks and nothing else with your gut hanging out and then don't understand why she don't want you. We'll give our best physically to everyone else except our spouse. When you first met her, guys, was you passing gas nonstop like you do now? I don't understand why she don't find me attractive. Well, you done stunk up the whole damn room. And if you did that in the early days and she was with you, well, she's a freak. I don't know what to tell you. Good for her. Boy, when you was dating, you'd never let him come pick you up without being done up. And again, I need you to hear my heart. There's a balance to everything. I don't want my wife to feel like she's got to be done up in our home all the time. But I also don't want to come home every time to one of my 10-year-old shirts that got bleach stains and rips all over, and that's all she's got, and her hair ain't fixed up. And in the same way, she don't want to see me come home all the time. I mean, even dressed up, I'm ugly, but I mean, whatever we can do to help. Take pride in yourself for your spouse, because here's the reality, and I'm going to hurt your feelings. You take pride in yourself the way you look for everybody else. He should love me no matter what. He does love you no matter what, and she loves you no matter what. But you should love them so much that they get your best too. I ain't even going to preach on this point, but I'm going to give it to you. Don't put it up there yet, Xander, until I tell you to. oh my God, I can't believe he's going to say this in church. This single point might save your marriage. And if there's a reason this point offends you, then you need to find out if it's an emotional issue and go to a counselor, or find out if it's a physical issue and go to a doctor. Because if you're not understanding this next principle in your marriage, I'm going to draw a line right here. Your marriage will not make it. Put it up there, Xander. God created sex. I know there's some teenagers in here. Trust me, parents, they know all of, not only, they know all the wrong things about it. So don't get all offended by what I'm about to say. God created sex. There's a reason the pieces fit together. It ain't like there was a naked man and a naked woman running around one day and they just collided into each other. And they're like, oh, that felt good. We should do that again. Babies come from sex, but that ain't the only reason for sex, because if it was, it wouldn't feel good. Or that good. If you have a sexless marriage, then you have a marriage that's not going to stand the test of time. If you have a sexless marriage, you are not going to get, you are definitely not going to get through the messy, because when the messy happens, I hate to tell you, they're going to look for sex somewhere. Men and women. Well, that ain't right. I didn't say it was right. I'm just giving you reality. You ain't got to like it. Now let's go back to Song of Solomon, because I'm going to give you some Bible. Well, actually, we ain't even going to go to Song of Solomon. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians. Because I'm going to get to Song of Solomon in a minute. Back this up with the Bible. Now, for the matters you wrote about, I like how Paul says, now, things you asked me about. I ain't just throwing this out. You asked me about these things. It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his wife and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife. Man, I know that's hard for you to understand. I'm going to hurt your feelings. You got a duty to her. God, I'm going to regret this. Over 70% of women never get fulfilled through sex. Guess what that means? You ain't doing your duty. Hey, man, I hate to tell you this. It ain't a race. We start at the same time, I win. Oh, by the way, God, I can't believe I'm saying this crap. This brings us back to point number one. Learn to communicate, and you might find out what she likes, and you might be able to fulfill your duty to please that booty. How about that? Avon, you said you didn't want to hear about marriage today. We talking sex, girl. You did want to hear it. Me and Avon have some weird, I ain't even going to tell y'all what Avon told me before service. Y'all come pull me outside later, I'll tell you. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but she yields it to her husband. That doesn't mean he's a slave, he's a taskmaster. You do not take that out of context. Does not mean, oh my God, whatever he wants, he gets. I got another point. We're going to back this up in a minute. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. I have to tell Christine this all the time, I am not a slave. Stop. I am not a machine. Now, here's the bad part you ain't going to like. Here's the only reason you ain't allowed. It's okay not to have sex. Do not deprive. I like how it says deprive. Kylie, say amen. Like, it is being, like, deprived. Do not deprive each other. Except perhaps, if you're going to deprive each other, maybe this is a reason. I lost my place. By mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Bible says the only reason you could even throw out as an excuse is you're going to pray. Now, a lot of women will be praying this week. Hey, I'm praying. Pray. Ain't no women going to be talking about a headache this week now. Let me tell you, I got to pray. Go away. But it says, after you done praying, come together again. So Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. He's telling you, oh, this is going to make some people mad. He's telling you that we have lack of self-control. He's not justifying it, but he said, if you don't do it, they're going to find it somewhere. And that's not just for men, for women too. Don't even, oh, listen, let's talk about women for a minute. Women are as dirty and as nasty and conniving as men ever thought about being. Now listen, we're getting way TMI here. Men will get accused all the time of looking at women's boobs. My eyes are up here. I had a fight last night, main event. I cannot believe I'm sharing this story either. Listen. I ain't gay, okay? I'm as straight as they come. But this man came out to fight. And he was blessed in some areas that were very obvious. You couldn't avoid it. I'm walking around the show making sure things are running. Women are stopping me. Six different women stopped me. What's going on in that ring right there? One of them, I will not say her name. The most sweetest, kindest, in my mind, non-pervertedest woman. Like, if you said, who's the sweetest woman in town, I'd have said this woman. She's like, her husband came up to me. Said, boy, Blank is intrigued. I said, my answer to all of them women was, his eyes are up here. And they said, well, I said, his eyes are up here. So women just as dirty. He's telling you, meet the needs, do not deprive each other because we will give in to our lack of self-control. Again, I'm not saying he's justifying it. I'm just saying he says we'll do it. You ain't got to like it, but I'm telling you, sex better be a priority in your relationship. Now, let's clarify some things real quick about sex. Throw that next point up. Some of you men were going to go home. Preacher said, give it to me. Preacher didn't say do anything. Matter of fact, I got a point about the preacher in a minute. You need to understand that sex is vital. But sex starts before the bedroom. Long before you lay a hand on your spouse, you're planting the seeds of intimacy. This man understood this. I'm telling you, this guy makes us look bad. Y'all thought the Bible was boring. Shh. Song of Solomon sounded like an X-rated movie. Look what he says. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. I don't know, man. I do know the context of this. I'll share it with you. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from the hills of Gilead. You need to understand these goats were a special breed of goats that had long hair. They were royalty. They were considered beautiful. And he's like, baby, you got hair like a goat. He just knew. He knew. He's building her up. Listen, a lot of people believe, and I don't know, you can't verify it, a lot of people believe this is Solomon. Some people call it the shepherd boy, but a lot of people believe it's Solomon. It would make sense that it's Solomon because he's the wisest man who ever lived. And he knew. You want brown chicken, brown cow later. You want to make a withdrawal later. You put in some deposits today. He knew he had to lay the foundation. He looked in her eyes. He said, baby, them eyes are like doves. He put his hand in her hair. He said, that hair is like a flock of goats. He was a pimp. Man. Check this out. This is where he really died. You got to understand the context again now. He said, your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn, coming up from the washing. Each has its own twin. Not one of them was alone. Now, you ever dated a meth head, you might understand how much you enjoy that when they got all their teeth. But you got to understand the context here. They did not have dental hygiene back in that day. So people would lose their teeth. That was a common thing in that day. Apparently she took care of her teeth. He said, baby, each one of your teeth got a matching one. Ain't no gap in that mouth. He said, boy, they white. They look like you just shorn a sheep or whatever. You don't know what you do with sheep. I ain't a farmer. But I do know this. Because I had this weird algorithm on TikTok. I always watch the people that cut the horse feet. And I watch these people who shave sheep. And sheep are nasty. They roll around the dirt and get all the tumbleweed and this thing. And then they shave them. And suddenly the dirty sheep are just shiny white because it's fresh hair. He's like, baby, your teeth are on like Donkey Kong. He said, baby, you got all your teeth. He was complimenting her. He was romancing her. He was building her up long before he ever touched her. We'd both be wise to learn that principle, but especially us men. Christine's helped me understand it's little things that I do all day long that matter. It's the little things that I do. It's something as simple as taking my dirty dish and putting it in the dishwasher instead of leaving it in the sink. It's something as simple as just calling her and telling her I love her. It's the little things that I do out of delight instead of out of duty. Great sex starts way before the bedroom. Look what he says. He says, your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. He just, like, he, in my mind, he done told her she got goat hair and all her teeth like a sheep. He's in like Flynn. He gonna keep on. Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. This is before Botox. He's saying, you're flushed, you're red with excitement. I notice. Hey, baby, did you get your nails done today? I noticed you got your hair cut. Little things. Your neck, verse 4, it's like the Tower of David, built with courses of stone. On it hang 1,000 shields. So she had a long neck and she had jewelry hanging down, is what he's saying. I don't know how he gave her a hickey, but he did. All them shields of warriors. This man. Your breasts are like two fawns, like twin fawns of a gazelle that browse among the lilies. I cannot believe I'm about to share this story, but I'm going to share this story. Let me tell it to you as you compliment your wife's breasts. Don't do like me. About 6-7 years ago, I told my wife, I guess we were talking about boobs or something. Oh, I think my wife said something about someone's boobs, and she said, man, they're like cantaloupes. And she said something. And I said, man, you have great boobs, man. They're like perfect grapes. Uh-uh. $7,000 later, now hers are like perfect cantaloupes. That's the most expensive thing I ever said in my life. I told you we keep it real today. Your breasts are like two fawns of a gazelle who browse among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadow. He said, until the day breaks and the shadows flee, I will go to the mountain of myrrh. Now, what's the mountain of myrrh? I think he just told him about her boobs. So I think it says, he says, I'm going to go to them boobs every day in the hill of incense. You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. This dude is laying it. You don't think he's getting sex that night? Shh. But here's the deal. You never see him bring up sex. He's not complimenting her to get sex in return. He's complimenting her because that's how he feels about her. He's pouring into her, and as a result, she wants him. Now, look what she says in return. Don't put it up there yet, Z. Look what she, now he's building her up. Goat hair, sheep teeth, boobies like deer. I'm going to sit down because I'm just preaching the Bible. Do not take this. Don't get mad at me. I got to hurry. She says, awake, north wind, and come, south wind. Blow on my garden that its fragrance may spread everywhere. Let my beloved come into his garden and taste its choice fruits. We ain't gonna break that verse down. Don't tell me it don't work. He tasting fruit in his garden and blowing on stuff and fragrances are going everywhere. Good for him. I'm trying to help y'all get through the messy. That's a whole different kind of messy, though. That's a good messy. Understand. Understand you will fight, but fight right. You're going to fight in your marriage. You're going to fight in your relationship. Christine, we fight this week? Woo! Christine, we fight this week? Christine, last Sunday, did we say, man, I'm preaching on marriage and we're going to end up fighting this week and we need to be prayed up? Was we prayed up? Yep. Did we talk about it? Yep. Did we still fight? Yep. I'm talking about we fought, son. I'm talking about door slam where it wouldn't shut fight. That was her. I'm talking about in return, taking my rein, chunking it through the wall in the garage, exploding everywhere. Fight. I'm talking about her standing behind my truck as I'm trying to leave the driveway. You ain't going nowhere till we finish this discussion. I'll run your ass over. Get out. I'm talking about we white trash in our neighborhood, son. That's what we do. Oh, by the way, I'm the pastor. How y'all doing? I'm going to run her over. You're going to fight. I told you I was going to keep it real. James, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You are going to fight. You better learn to fight right. You're going to disagree. You're two different people, but you got to fight right. I'm going to give you these real quick, and that's it. Here's how we're going to fight. We're never going to call names. We're never going to call names. You call your spouse a name when you're angry, that means you meant it when you weren't angry. I told Chris there, I said, don't ever call me names. Cuss me out, cuss me up one side. Don't call names. I didn't say I do all these. I'm trying to show you how to fight right, though. Never raise your voice. Nothing good comes out of you raising your voice. Step back, count to 10, breathe, sing a song, say a prayer, say 14 prayers, pray in tongues. I don't know, whatever you have to do. Calm down before you speak. Because once the voices get raised, everybody's raising voices. Number three, never get historical. I remember back in 1962. It's just like 9 years ago. We were driving down the road. We were driving down Harbin's Road. I saw you. Remember, we were passing that White House with the red shutters. I know what you said. You remember that? It's just like today. Well, good, because that's 9 years ago. Don't get historical. We ain't playing scorecards. Never say never or always. You never do this. You always do this. Don't swipe a broad strokes when you're fighting. Deal with the issue at hand. Deal with the issue at hand. Never threaten divorce. Don't do it. It's a low blow. It's uncalled for. Clarify. I told Chris, I said, I'm done. The other day, done. What do you mean you're done? I knew what she meant. I said, I don't mean I'm done in this marriage. I mean I'm done with this conversation. You ain't getting rid of me that easy. I had to clarify. I'm done with this conversation. If you don't hear nothing else I say, this next point's the most important. We're going to fight. We're going to fight right. Never quote your pastor when you're fighting. Do not. The amount of y'all that bring me into y'all's fights. You know what Gary said on stage. Look, I just said it because it sounded good. I'm a hypocrite. I probably wasn't even living it out. Do not bring me into your fights. Don't do it. I don't want to be part of it. Pastor Gary said, no, 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 no. Pastor Gary ain't said nothing. I'll go delete the podcast and deny it. Marriage is messy. There ain't nothing you can do to avoid it being messy. Marriage will be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. And it will be the most rewarding thing you've ever done in your life when you find that right person who you want to spend the rest of your life with. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. She who finds a husband finds a good thing. Two are better than one. It's hard, but you can get through it. Maybe you're here today and you're not married. Cool. Write down these notes. And when you meet someone, ask yourself, can I do these things with them? Maybe you're dating someone today and you're not married. Guess what? It's not too late for you to get out if y'all aren't doing these things. Marriage is messy, but you can get through it.